You are listening to a digitally remastered class of HaRav Yochanan Zweig, Rosh HaYeshiva of the Talmudic University of Florida.
The background to this discussion between, conversation between Bilaam and God is that first when the messengers of Bala came, he said, Hashem said, I couldn't, with you I can't go. They left, they came back, they offered him whatever he wanted. And he said, I have to ask Hashem. The first time Hashem already told him, you're not allowed to curse them. Now Hashem said to them, to him, you can go with them. Go to page 278, sentence 20. And God said to him like this, if the people came to you, you can go with them. If they came to you, Rashi says, that means, look what Rashi says, if it's for, the coming is for your sake, and you're going to make money on it, go. But remember, whatever I tell you, you're going to have to speak. So Bilaam now has gotten permission from God to go. Bilaam gets up in the morning, saddles his donkey, and he goes with them. And God becomes furious with him. Because he's going. God told him he can go. Go with them. And then an angel of God stands on the way to attack him. Okay. So the question is, what changed? God told Bilaam he can go. And then all of a sudden, in the morning, he gets up and goes, and God is furious at him. So let's take a look at the sentences again. In sentence 20, it says, God says, Kum lech itam, you can go with them. In sentence 21, it says, he went with them with an ayin. Before he said, itam, alongside of them. So the Vilna Gaon says, it's brought in his name this, that God said you can go with them. You go for your reason, they go for theirs. You're going to make money, they're going to destroy the Jews. And that's what you go alongside. You're both going on the same path, each one for a separate agenda. And he wakes up in the morning, he's going with them. With them means he's bought into, he's going for the same reason that they are, to destroy the Jews. The problem with that is, that's, God is just telling you what was going on in his head. But this does not show us any objective phenomena that's true. I mean, not that God's going to tell us a lie, but I guess part of it could be that Bilaam himself wouldn't really be aware of the fact that he's not listening to God, because we do have the tendency to be able to convince ourselves that God says, yeah, that's why I'm going. Yeah, I understand I don't like Jews too, but that's, I'm doing it for the right reason. So it's not unlikely that Bilaam convinced himself he was doing it for the right reason. Therefore, he's sort of shocked when the donkeys is making it difficult for him to go. He's shocked because he really has convinced himself he's doing it for the right reason. That's what it apparently it means. But that's, so therefore it's very difficult to understand that that's what the Torah could be telling us. That God is telling us, even though Bilaam doesn't know, I really know who Bilaam is. Bilaam really doesn't have the right motivations. I always think that's, you don't get stuck, you'll say that's what it is. But it's more likely that in the storyline there should be some objective proof to the fact of why he went. Not just God's reading his deepest recesses of his consciousness, or maybe subconscious, what he's really going for. And the way that thought just implies that he's really, God is reading his subconscious mind. It doesn't really help us, because if a person doesn't realize he's doing something wrong, it's hard to hold a person responsible for what he doesn't realize that he's doing something wrong. And when you're dealing with what I, you know, he can go. And he can do whatever, he's still limited to whatever God told him he's allowed to do. You're not allowed to curse them. So what does it really mean he's doing it for the wrong reason? He wants to make money. He knows he's restricted. So he'll convince himself he's doing it for the right reason and figure out. As Rashi says, he'll try and convince God that there's an opening here to curse them. I'd like to suggest a whole different idea here. Let's read the book, and it's a very fascinating idea. He gets up in the morning, and he saddles his donkey. So Rashi says, from here we see that hatred disrupts the correct order of things. When a person is, he's out of control. When the person is a hater, he's out of control. He's doing something that's absolutely so incredible, so not fitting for him. He's just a person, he's pure acting out of control. And then Rashi says to him, and by the way, Avram Avinu already preceded you. Because Avram Avinu also got up in the morning and he saddled his donkey, but Avram Avinu did it out of love. Avram Mekalkelus and Sashua. First of all, even that, how do we know that? Maybe they both got up for, he got up for love, he got up for love. They both could have gotten up for love. Right? And, or maybe Avram Avinu, God said, kill your son. He had to, from that moment, the hatred for his son got into his heart over there, and then he has to destroy him, and not likely to be, but Rashi learns the opposite over there. But still, how does a person really know what's motivating here? Just like this. Out of control behavior can only be hate or love. That's totally out of control. The two most powerful emotions out of control is either hate or love. There's one element between these two stories that's different. The Torah tells us they both did something they're totally unfitting to them. The only thing the Torah tells us, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Avram got up early in the morning, and Bilam didn't get up early. Bilam got up in the morning, and he's had a good night's sleep. The difference between the feeling of love and hate is love is a very empowering feeling. I can't sleep. I'm so excited. It's so meaningful to me. Hate is I'm in so much pain because that I want to destroy somebody. But actually, the best alternative to that is sleep. Sleep is really something that is another way to escape the pain. And just like any pain, if you get into a deep enough sleep, you can go through an operation too with sleep. Avram Avinu he's too excited to sleep. He gets up, he's just excited about the events of the day. He's up and early, and he's just slept. When you're in love, you can't go to sleep. You don't want to sleep. So as soon as the earliest opportunity, he pops out of bed and I can do what I want. Bilam is different. Bilam is actually hates the Jews. He's out of control, but his out of control is hatred. When you hate somebody out of control, that means you're in enormous, enormous pain. He would really prefer, even not having to kill somebody, if you could sleep long enough, you can inure yourself from the pain. And therefore, he can't do anything at night. He goes to bed, I'm going to get a good night's sleep, because when I'm sleeping, I'm not in pain. I'm escaping from the pain. Love is a very empowering feeling. Hatred is a very destructive feeling. Hatred is a person feels literally he has no value to his life. He feels that the object of his hatred is destroying him, eating him up alive. And if I have to destroy him because I'm in enormous, enormous pain, it's not an empowering feeling. It's exactly the opposite. Well, Chazal are telling us here, therefore, Bilam had really a very objective way of measuring. He went deep into sleep. He knew that he's not going out of love. What I'm trying to explain is that there's objective phenomena that Bilam could measure himself by. When a person can make objective, then he's held for sure responsible. When a person is deluded, or he could delude himself, to hold the person responsible for that is a little difficult because he doesn't realize he's doing anything wrong, perhaps. But if he has objective phenomena that says to him, listen, you're a hater. You're not going because you're motivated by money. Now, obviously, by the way, the love of money also is not Mekalkelus HaSashur. It's a wonderful thing. People want money, but it's not Mekalkelus HaSashur. Mekalkelus HaSashur is love or hate. to act something totally out of control, it has to be a very powerful emotion. Money is something that will give you a lot of, you know, add a lot of quality to your life, but you're not going to go totally out of control for that. You're not going to do things that are totally demeaning to you. In fact, it's one of the words for money is covet. One of the greatest motivations for money is honor. It gives me honor. It gives me value. It gives me weight. Covet means weight. The person who has money, he feels weighty. He feels, a heavyweight. Money gives a person a feeling of weight. And therefore, he won't do anything that's what Kalkelis is assured. He won't do anything that's disrespectful to him. If he's being motivated by money, he's being driven to get a feeling of respect, of being weight. And therefore, he won't do it. So it's either hate or love. Now, he could convince himself it's because he loves them. But when he went to sleep, he knew it wasn't because he loved them. He knew it was only because he was escaping the pain of what the Jews were, and therefore he totally buys into the desire to destroy them. His motive, he just wants to destroy them. He's in pain. Maybe this is now what Rashi's saying in the other Rashi, on page 279. Im sorry, Bog, Rashi says, Libo ke libam shover. That they, in other words, what the Torah is telling us is that when he gets up in the morning, he is totally with them. They are haters of the Jews. They are interested only in one thing, to destroy the Jews. Even though, by the way, they're not under threat. They have no threat. The Jews are not threatening them at all, but they want to destroy the Jews. Why do they want to destroy the Jews if they're not under threat? Why do they want to destroy the Jews? This is a very fascinating Rashi. Let's go later on. Fascinating. Page 286, but I think that's the second time. 286. Third one, too. 286, page 286, sentence 39. Bilam goes with Balak, and they come to Kiryat Chutzos. What's the idea of Kiryat Chutzos? Rashi says, the city full of marketplaces with men, women, and children's plazas. And he says, as if to say, have mercy that these should not be uprooted. It's a metropolis. And he's saying, he wants to get Balaam really excited about his mission, or feel mission of destroying Jews. Because look at these beautiful children. Look at this thriving economy. The Jews want to destroy them. Now we know that he didn't. That wasn't true. He already had, as the pasuk says in Sefer Shoftim, he had already sent message to Balak, "Let's go." He said no. So just like he moved away, we wanted to cross through Avar Yard. We want to go through their land. So first we asked Esav, and Esav said no. Okay, so we didn't wage war. We went away, and so we did exactly the same thing with Balak. We sent letters. The pasuk says. And we moved away. We're not about to attack them, just like we didn't attack Esav. We're related to them. Esav we're related to. And Moab we're related to. Moab is the descendants of Lot. We're not about to attack them. How can he invoke compassion when everybody knows it's not true? So very fascinating. You know, for years, I was always bothered. For years. How do we understand the blood libels? We know it's not true. We know that we don't put Christian blood in wine for Pesach. We know that. And I don't know anything we do that's improper in doing the mitzvah, that that could be a reason that becomes the focal point of it. So why do they, how do they sell that? How, do they really believe that? Or today? There's a whole reality in the world. The Jews are imperialistic. We want to destroy everybody. We want to take over everybody. We know that's not true. So how do we understand that the goyim convince themselves it is true? I mean, they just say what they don't mean? I mean, here it certainly can't be that, because then there's the goal here, right? He's trying to accomplish something. If I know that you don't, it's not true, and you know it's not true, so we haven't accomplished any goals at all. So how do you buy into something that you know is not true? And I understand, politically, you'll make accusations that you know are not true, but that doesn't work here. But even today, it's hard to believe. I mean, the whole world is so mishigah. They actually believe, and we know the opposite is the truth. We know exactly the opposite truth. We go to every, warn the civilians. We do everything possible. Soldiers are held to such a high standard. I mean, there's no other nation in the world that would do that. They just go and wipe out the city and get done with. What's the shot of it? How do people believe that it's exactly the opposite of what the truth is? Now, I understand if you want an excuse to kill somebody, you'll say it even if you don't believe it. But that doesn't sound like that's what, certainly not here, and I never felt that's what it is there, so I felt we must be doing something wrong. I finally figured out this week that's not the pshat at all. This is a mishundik of word here. The way we measure other people or by what we would do if we were in their position. All the nations of the world believe in that the world belongs to them. Every secular value, it's our world. God gave us the world. This is our world. Yes, he gave us certain rules, but it's our world. People that don't agree with us, people that are fighting with us, I mean, not physically fighting, people have a different ideology, they're not contributing to our world. We don't need them here. Let's get rid of them. If something is mine, then when somebody else's exists, he's taking half the pie. I don't want him around. I really don't want him around. I don't need him. I don't want him around. And therefore, if they were God's favored nation, and there was these infidels called Jews, they would just destroy them. They would just destroy them. There's no question that's what they would do. And therefore, they measure us. Yes, we're saying it, but we know, you know it's not true. Because they measure us by themselves. That's the way we measure everybody. We measure other people by what, if it would be me, what would I do? And therefore, I don't think anybody has more noble motivations that are more noble than myself. And therefore, I'm sure that if I would do this, and good, they're saying it, but I know what they're saying is not true. Yeah, they said they're not going to attack us. 100% they said. But I know that if we're me, and we're the right religion, they're the infidels, we would wipe them out. So Christianity wiped out infidels. Islam, they wipe it out, and therefore they understand. The Jews are going to do the same thing. Yeah, they'd wait until they maybe get a more advanced nuclear weapon that can destroy all the countries and won't come back to Israel. Okay, maybe they're waiting. But they really want to destroy us. There's no question they really want to destroy us. And that's the message, because they believe it would be them. Maybe they're right. Except one thing. The difference between a Jew and a Goy is we're obligated in Tikkun HaOlam. The definition of being a Jew is to fix up the rest of the world. Not to take control of the world, to fix up the rest of the world. That is our basic commitment of being a Jew. Every single day when we say Kriya Shema, we are committing ourselves to fix up the world. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. It's our pledge of allegiance. Hashem is our God, our God now. In the future, it'll be Hashem will be the God of all the nations of the world. What is that doing in a pledge of allegiance? The pledge of allegiance is, I am committing to God. I am under God. That there's some prophetic vision that in the future, the whole world will be. What does that have to do with pledge of allegiance? It was the sentence that is the God put in the Torah that we should pledge allegiance to him every day, and we have an obligation twice a day to pledge that allegiance, should not be mixed in with some prophetic vision. The Pledge of Allegiance is a statement of commitment, not a statement of prophecy. That's the, it's a commitment. Our commitment is Hashem Elokeinu, and our commitment is Hashem Echad, that we will act in a way to help, that the rest of the world will be inspired to also accept God. That's our Pledge of Allegiance. And therefore, we have no interest in destroying. Our interest in this helping and fixing people. Their interest, it's their world. And those that are on the right side are right, and the rest we eliminate. Why should we allow them to dilute our resources, to dilute? Let's get rid of them. And that's 100% their philosophy. Therefore, they are sure that that's exactly what the Jews are doing. They're measuring themselves by, measuring us by themselves. All the secular world has no commitment to anybody other than themselves. Even on a simple level, a person is drowning. There's absolutely no obligation in secular law to save a person that's drowning. In fact, you can turn, you can put your stopwatch on and see how long he treads water. No problem. There's one country that has a civil action for that, and that's France. Otherwise, there's not even a country in the world that there's any civil action. You have a lifesaver here, and you can throw it to them. There's absolutely no obligation in civil law to help anybody. So there's no obligation, certainly, to help infidels that are right now on the wrong ideological page, too. And therefore, they feel we are exactly the same as them. And they don't understand that if you really believe in God, God is the creator of the universe, and therefore God is concerned about everybody and our stated mission, and we have to reaffirm it twice a day that we are here to help, to act in a way, our commitment to God is to act in a way to help everybody else, to bring them the truth. And therefore, then I understood the whole idea of blood libel. They are just saying, if it would be they. It's a very appropriate Pesach. Pesach, we now became God's nation. Well, if we were God's nation, what would we do? Well, the first thing we'd do would be get rid of the Christian infidels. The Jewish infidels. No, it's, if we were Jews, we would get rid of the infidels. We would drink their blood in celebration of our new empowerment as God's nation. And therefore, they're sure that's exactly what we're doing, because that's what they would do. We on Pesach is exactly the opposite. By us on Pesach, it is to commit ourselves to act in a way that will bring a Hashem to the whole world. So it's exactly the opposite. So that's why it's Pesach, but it's a fascinating. I'm telling you, all the years I was bothered, what are we doing wrong that they should think we hate them? That we're drinking blood. What are we doing wrong? It's not we're doing anything wrong. You can't, even when you do everything right, the other people will always measure you not by what you're doing, but they measure other people by themselves. And they have no commitment to anybody else other than themselves, or the, I mean, and like-minded people, people they need for their society, for their, and that's what we're seeing in the religions today. It's my way, we've got to destroy it. There's no even thought, let's say Islam is right. So it's kill people? Why not try and talk, encourage, motivate, show the beauty, teach? No, it's not like that. We have no reason to help you. You either accept us or we destroy you. Because it's all about them. It's not about anybody other than them. Therefore, they have convinced themselves that we, the Jews, are imperialists. And they're not just they convinced Islamites, they've convinced the whole world. Basically, almost the whole world holds that we are... that we are the pariah, we want to destroy the world. That's what, I mean, that's what most, not the overwhelming majority of the world thinks. We want, and we know it's not true, and we do things to show it's not true. No, we're just manipulating, it's PR, it's not true. It's, that's what we're, it's exactly the opposite of what being a Jew is. So even though maybe we're not a, yet a religious state, but deep down we do have the value. We're not interested in destroying. We actually hope we'll be able to help everybody, fix them up. But that will never help for them because they are measuring us by themselves. And I think that's the pshat. The Gemara says, why is it called Sinai, Mount Sinai? She yard the Sina la'olam. Hatred came down to the world. Well, what's the hatred? Because they understood exactly this, that if we become the nation, God's nation, then we're out there to kill them all. Because if they were God's nation, that's exactly what they would do. We have to kill everybody. It's not like the world belongs to us and those of the same theology. That's what I think the pshat here is. So Bilaam is actually hates the Jews, even though, and he convinces Balak to go ahead. And or Balak hates the Jews, and he says, you understand, these kids are going to be destroyed. This metropolis is going to be destroyed. That's what they actually believe. This metropolis is going to be changed. He actually emotionally is playing on his emotions. You understand? I know they send a letter, they're not going to come and they're going to go away, but you understand, not today, it'll be tomorrow, they are interested in destroying this nation. And therefore, we have to destroy them, even though they know it's not true. No, they believe that what we're doing is not true, because they know if it would be them, it would be absolutely false. If they were the Jews, they would be out destroying all the other cities, all the other nations, and therefore they convince themselves that that's true. That's not a hard sell to a person, because a person is limited in his ability to see something outside of himself. It's a huge difficulty ever to have a perspective outside of the way I think. You know, Baruch Hashem, God gave us the Torah, and he actually gave us a perspective. If we take the Torah's perspective, we have to learn and keep in mind that what the Torah is teaching us. Not if we measure everything by ourselves, we will never get out of ourselves. And when you don't get out of yourselves, you judge everybody by yourself. It's interesting. Not everybody is the same as you. There are actually people that are different, greater than you, but we can't extricate ourselves in that. Myself, I'm the center of the universe, and the way I am is reflecting everybody else, and all mankind has some brotherhood. That's true. But we actually have a system, a relation with God that gives us a ability to see, gave us a vision beyond ourselves. Torah is God's vision, and he opened us up to a vision, and therefore we have responsibility to fix everybody else up. Great challenge.